Good morning once again. It's a joy to be able to come and meet friends. I know a few people from St. Saviour's and St. Nicholas, but some of you are new to me. But it's great to be able to come and connect with you again. I know that you have made a very bold move to connect with the Diocese of Singapore with a view to reaching Thailand for Christ. It's a great partnership, and so I just want to commend that to you as something that is... it's exciting, and we're watching the space to see how God's going to use that venture to be able to grow his kingdom in Thailand. I do like to tell the story of St. Saviour's and Nicholas when I travel around New Zealand, because I think this partnership between churches in New Zealand and churches overseas is a great way of being able to grow in our understanding of what God is doing around the world and our role in it. Why should God bless you is... what we're going to be reflecting on this morning from Psalm 67. I'll begin by asking the question. Now, I know that some of you probably have, been checking the score. I haven't checked the score for the Rugby World Cup, but which country is the Rugby World Cup champions at the moment? New Zealand, absolutely. Whether we keep that title, we're yet to know. We don't have too long to go before we know. But which country is the world champions on athletics? There was athletic championships in Beijing a couple of months ago. Which country got the most medals in the world? Kenya. I've actually become quite fascinated by this whole idea that every country has a gift, every country has something, a blessing that God has given them. There are different gifts that God gives different countries and different people. For Kenya, God's given us this gift of running marathons. Some of the people who actually run and win a world marathon come from the bush, and they go and run and win a marathon without much training or anything like that. It's just a gift. And I don't know whether you know it, but it's actually one tribe in Kenya out of the 42 different tribes that get these marathon titles. Just one tribe. Quite fascinating about the gifts that God gives us. But as I've spent some time in New Zealand, I've found that, especially as I speak with 20-something, 30-something-year-olds, some of the two things that have become very common that I hear back from people are, one, a lot of young adults, younger people feel that they stink, that they are not good enough. This issue of self-worth is a big issue in New Zealand. It affects so many people. People who are so gifted, people who have so much to give, feel that they are not good enough. They don't have much to, they can't make a difference, and they feel like, they need something. Self-worth, a sense of shame for who they are and how people view them. And so that's a significant issue I've picked up. But there's also the flip side of that is also this idea of the sense of significance. A lot of Kiwis feeling that they want a greater purpose. Life cannot just be about working and earning and eating and sleeping and working and earning and eating and having a house. And, it just can't be, that can't be everything. There must be more to life than all the things that we work for, 24/7. And a desire for significance and a desire for achievement and a desire to make a difference. And that's why a lot of Kiwis want to travel overseas to go and find ways in which they can bring a smile to someone's face or help someone else or make a difference in another person's life. So the issue of significance. I reckon today that this Psalm 67, seeks to address those two issues that are quite common to most people and Christians and non-Christians alike. The issue of shame, not feeling like we are, we're good enough, and the issue of significance, wanting to have a purpose, meaning, and a sense of wanting to make a difference. And so as we open the Psalm 67, I pray that this psalm will be an encouragement to you and a challenge to you as well. So Psalm 67, it's a very simple psalm, only 7 verses in the psalm, and the main message is actually quite clear. And if you look at the psalm, you will notice that it's structured a particular way. The central point is actually in the middle, verse 4, where it says, "May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth." Is that happening today among the nations? Well, there are a lot of nations around the world where they are not singing for joy. They do not think that God is guiding them justly. And there is a need for the nations to be able to sing and be glad for joy because of what God does. And so that is the goal. That's what the psalmist is praying would happen. Then verse 3 and 5 are not only parallel, but they are actually identical. If you look at verse 3 and 5, they are actually the same. Verse 3, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Verse 5, may the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. And then verse 1 and 2 are parallel to verse 6 and 7. Verse 1 and 2, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. Verse 6, then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. You can see it's sort of like parallel. So the psalm begins by asking God to bless us and ends by underlining the fact that God will indeed bless us, in part through the abundant harvest of food, and then concludes once again with giving the reason for the blessing, so that all the ends of the earth will fear him, will honor him, will hold him in awe. So how does this psalm address the two issues that I raised earlier? The issue of self-worth, the issue of shame, and the issue of significance. First, the issue of shame or self-worth. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. For people who struggle with the sense of confidence that they are good enough, that they have worth, this psalm is saying God blesses us. God has blessed us. And it's a prayer for God to bless us, to be aware of the blessings that God gives us. A blessing it can be defined as a gift from God that glorifies his name, that helps his people, and through them reaches out to help others who will also glorify his name. A blessing is undeserved. It flows from God's abundant grace and mercy. So have you thought recently about how God has blessed you? In what way has God blessed you? You know, God's blessed us in so many different ways. He's given us physical blessings. He's given us social blessings. He's given us intellectual blessings. He's given us so much. We've got good health. We've got skills. We live in a country that is safe, where we can move around without feeling like, you know, people are going to attack us. I come from the city of Nairobi, and at one point, they were reporting 300 carjacking incidences every night, where you know you don't know whether you're driving home from work in the evening, and someone with a gun is waiting for you at your gate. A lot of people live in gated communities with a lot of fence around it, and a lot of watchmen try and protect. But even with all that security stuff, people feel so unsafe in a place like Kenya. We live in a country where there's a lot of safety. What a blessing! The opportunities that we have. In New Zealand that, you know, perhaps other people around the world do not have. But even more than that, God has given us massive blessings in the gospel, the spiritual blessings that are ours in Christ. John 1:16, the gospel says, from the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. Have you considered the blessing that is yours in Christ? Ephesians 1:13 and 14 says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And it goes on to explain how God has blessed us in Christ. And Psalm 103 verse 2 says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his blessings. Now we can, if you live in a place where these blessings flow too much, you are not always aware that you have them. See, that's the point, that you know, it can become second nature. You're so used to it, this is how you live your life, you're not aware that it's actually a blessing until you go somewhere else where people have much less than you do, then you realize, oh my goodness, am I not blessed? And that's why visiting other countries, going on short-term mission trips, being able to invest in other cultures, people from other cultures, is such a good thing. Befriending people who are not like you, who do not have your background, who do not have your experience, who do not have your resources. It's a great way of being able to appreciate what God has given us. And also being able to share the good news with others. I have found that every time I have shared the gospel with people who do not know Christ, I've come away really appreciative the fact that I know the gospel, that I know Jesus, that I have hope of eternal life, that my life, you know, that the things that matter to me are different from some of the people that I talk to who, for them, this life is it. So the more we share the good, the more we meet people who do not have what we have and engage with them, the more we appreciate the fact that God has blessed us. And that helps with the issue of self-worth and the issue of shame. Now you here, St. Saviors and St. Nicholas, you have one of the amazing blessings, I believe, in the church in New Zealand, in the sense that you have God's word preached to you faithfully each week. I just want you to recognize that as a blessing. Now, and I'll give you the reason why. You've got an amazing treasure. There's so many places around the world where the church is growing faster than they have the ability to be able to equip Bible teachers. In some of the places in Sudan, they have people, 19-year-old, 20-year-old, who've only been Christians for about 2 or 3 years, running churches of 500 people, and they haven't even had a chance to read through the Bible. But they have an opportunity of being able to disciple other people. And there's no time. Most bishops don't have time to send their leaders to Bible colleges because the church is multiplying so fast, they can't afford not to have them. I went to Cambodia a while back, and I was shocked to hear of how one of the leaders here was saying, you know, we can't wait for 2 years to disciple someone for 2 years because, you know, 6 months is good enough. Once you disciple, you know Jesus, and you're disciple for 6 months, you're a leader in the church, and you get busy for God. Plant a church. Now, here in New Zealand, we sit every week and hear God's word open to us, and we feel nice, and we enjoy the word. But, boy, you know, some of us can talk about 20 years of faithful Bible, hearing the Bible read to us, open to us each week. What a blessing. Now, here, the context of New Zealand. Bible Society recently did a research which revealed that more than a third of New Zealand children have never read, heard, or seen the story of Jesus' birth. More than a third of New Zealand children. Two-thirds cannot recall the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And three-quarters of Kiwi kids haven't heard the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, that's serious, you know, for us who've been blessed by God with knowing the Bible, we've got several Bibles at home, and you know, we hear God's word open to us, to have three-quarters of the children of New Zealand who do not know the story of Good Samaritan, that's pretty serious. But there's good news too. And the good news is that about half of Kiwi parents thought that Bible stories are important for their children because they provide good values for life. And 40% of children in New Zealand indicated that they'd like to read, hear, and see more Bible stories. What a great opportunity. Do you see what I'm talking about? We've been blessed by God. Faithful teaching from God's word, faithful exposition from the scriptures, God's word, knowing Jesus, the gospel. What an incredible privilege that we have as God's people. So many people around the world hungry for God's word, hungry to hear the truth because they have false teachers. They've got cults. They've got all kinds of people who teach them the wrong stuff. And we have the privilege of hearing God's word. What a privilege. What a blessing. Are you aware of how much God has blessed you? Now, blessings of God don't only come in terms of the nice things, you know, from worldly standards. The blessings of God also do come from some of the challenging things as well. I had recently of a story of a gentleman in Auckland who had been jailed for a couple of years. And when he came out of prison, he went to an Anglican church, and the person who was serving him communion on that Sunday happened to be, as it was, his arresting officer, the person who actually arrested him. And in a sort of awkward moment, trying to figure out, okay, you know, how is this going to look like? The gentleman, the ex-prisoner, went over to the gentleman and said to him, you know, I want to thank you for arresting me, because when I was in prison, I found Christ, and I feel really blessed to have known Jesus in prison. And he was able to have communion. Sometimes the blessings of God don't only come in sort of nice, flashy things that we have. It actually comes through pain and difficulty and suffering, because through that, God reveals who he really is to us. He reveals his love, his power, his grace, and his mercy. So perhaps sometimes we look for God's blessings only in some areas and not in other areas. And that's why I think Paul in Ephesians 3:17 makes a beautiful prayer, which is sort of a prayer that I want to be praying for myself, that God would help me, you know, being rooted and established in love, I may have the power, together with all God's people, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that I may be filled with to the measure of all the fullness of God. Sometimes pain and suffering and difficulty will lead you to understanding God's love. And that's a huge blessing. It's a massive blessing to be able to know the wealth of God's love for us. His amazing grace, because that helps us appreciate who we really are in Him because of His mercy. So Psalm 67, God's blessing to us, being gracious to us, making His face shine upon us, enables us to be able to deal with the question of self-worth, because it helps us appreciate who we are in Christ and what God has done for us. But secondly, the question of significance. Why does God bless us? So the point being made by Psalm 67 is that God blesses His people so that we can honor His name, we can bring glory to His name, and also we can enable the other nations through us and the blessings He gives us, other nations can also worship God. That verse 4. May the nations praise You, verse 3 and 4. May all the peoples praise You. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. That is the goal of the blessings that God has given us. It's a foundational truth that God spoke to Abraham in Genesis 12 when He said to him, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. So this is not the first time we are hearing this message. It runs throughout the whole Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament. Isaiah 49:6, you know, God says to Israel, I will give you as a light to the nations, that My salvation may reach the ends of the earth. So similar to what is in verse 2 here. So that's exactly what is the same concept in Psalm 67. In other words, God has blessed us so that we can be a blessing to the nations. So how can the gifts that God has given us be used to bless the nations? Well, I picked up that word there, your ways, verse 2, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among the nations. And I tried to study how is the word your way used in the Old Testament. And I came up with this verse in Genesis 18:19. The context is the destruction of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God basically says that He doesn't want to hide from Abraham what He wants to do to Sodom and Gomorrah, because the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah are evil. And He says this about Abraham. He says, for I have chosen him, verse 19 of Genesis 18, so that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that he will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. In other words, God is going to bless Abraham, and through him he will bless the nations. And the way that He's going to bless the nations through Abraham is by Abraham and his family keeping the way of the Lord, and through that making His ways, the ways of the Lord, known to the nations. What is the way of the Lord in the Old Testament? It is living according to God's instructions, reflecting God's character. It's imitating Him in love and justice and compassion and truth and integrity. It is living as countercultural people, living the way of the Lord as opposed to the way of the world, being different. And one of the ways of doing that is by discipling those who are closest to us, our family. So God was going to take Abraham's family and set them apart so that through that, the nations are going to be asking, hey, you know, you're different. God's blessed you. You know, what is it that you have? How is it that you get these blessings? And so the nations are going to admire the life of Abraham and the blessings that God had given him as he lived in the way of the Lord, and will want to know this God of Abraham and worship Him. Notice the psalmist is not saying, bless me so that I can be comfortable. Now, being comfortable is not a bad thing. But that's not what this psalm is about. He's not saying, bless me so that I can be comfortable. He's not even saying, bless me so that I don't have to work so hard to earn a living. So that, you know, I can just find money flowing into my bank without working too hard. He's not even saying, bless me so that I can be famous or so that other people can be envious of me. He's not saying, bless me so that I can be successful in the eyes of the world. God, the psalmist is saying, bless me so that I can bring glory to your name among the nations. That your name will be known among the nations. Where your way is not known, your salvation is not known, your guidance is not sought, and where the nations have conspired against you. Now, boy, there's lots of places around the world and in our communities that need that. So bless me, Lord, so that others can see you and glorify you. Is that your heart's desire? Is that something you long for? No, this idea is not limited to just Psalm 67. When Solomon is dedicating the temple in Jerusalem in 1 Kings 8, 60, he actually prays that God would bless, God would show his blessings on the temple so that people might come to know God, Yahweh, the God of Israel, that he is God. And then through that, he might be glorified. You see, it's easy for us sometimes to think of God as a heavenly Santa Claus, the one who is up there to serve us, to provide for us, to comfort us, to care for us. That's not wrong to ask for those things. But in our individualistic society, we can easily perceive God's blessings as a tool to meet our needs and to make us feel comfortable. We need to remember that God is at the center of everything. It is his glory that drives his purposes. Yes, he wants to bless us. He wants to care for us. He wants to provide for us. But for what end? To what end? For what purpose? I think it's an awesome thing that God wants to use me, God wants to use you to bless others, to make a difference in other people's lives and to actually be a blessing to the nations. That actually we can make a difference. That through God's blessings, others can look at us and think, boy, God's blessed you. He's blessed you so much. I want to be like you. You know, how did you get where you are? That God can use us and the blessings he's given us to enable people to know him. And that's why we need to go to the nations and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. And that's why Revelation 7 says that people from every tongue, every tribe will be gathered before God singing, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb. That song will be sung. It's not a question of if, it is an issue of when. One of the things I love to do, I mean, I didn't come to New Zealand thinking much or even knowing much about rugby. But now it's sort of come into sort of my life. I mean, I sort of can't avoid it living in New Zealand. So rugby is this thing. And I found that I find it easier to watch a rugby game when my favorite team is playing after I know what the score is. That is a great time to watch because, you know, if you watch before, you don't know how the game is going to go and you get tense and you got butterflies in the stomach and it's quite a difficult game to enjoy. But when you know the score, when you know the final score, you can sit back, relax with a cup of coffee and watch the game. Because it doesn't matter whether they're losing or how the game is going, you know what the final score is. And right here in this passage in Revelation 7, we know what the final score is, that the nations will be singing this song. Salvation belongs to our God and unto the Lamb. We know God will succeed. It doesn't look like that when we look around ourselves, in our communities, in our families. It looks like, you know, our world is broken. People are not interested in Christ. And yet, you know, the picture we have is that God will succeed. God is victorious. We are on the victor's side. And we can join him as he seeks to be able to bring in the harvest. He wants to use us, every one of us, with the gifts he's given us, the blessings he's given us. Not just spiritual blessings, but physical blessings, intellectual blessings. Everything we've got belongs to him to be used by him for his purposes to the glory of his name. And so the psalmist concludes by saying in verse 7, the harvest. I want to talk about the harvest, you know, verse 6. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. Harvest here is literal, referring to the Old Testament idea that if you obeyed God, Leviticus 26:4, if Israel followed the way of the Lord, God would bless the land, and the land will yield harvest. So one of the ways that the children of Israel got to know that God had blessed them was through the land being productive. But I believe that as the psalmist here expresses confidence in the harvest, there's also the spiritual element of it, the idea of a fruitful harvest for those who follow the way of the Lord and who trust and obey God. I reckon that that is something that we need in New Zealand today. As I talked earlier about the lack of confidence in the gospel, we can get to the place where, because we haven't seen much harvest, we haven't seen many people come to faith, we can get to the place where we don't desire that anymore. It is not something that is in our prayers on a regular basis, that God would give us a harvest. And I think the psalmist reminds us here, and I think it's a great reminder for us and a challenge for us, to desire more of the harvest, that God would bring the harvest, that the land would yield its harvest, both physical but also spiritual. That in our work, in our communities, in our prisons, and wherever we are actively involved in our workplaces, that we want to see the lost come to faith. That is a desire that we have, and that's something we pray for, that God would bless us. And perhaps the prayer we need to be praying is that God would bless us with confidence so that we can believe that we can make a difference in our workplaces, in our communities, in our families, and further afield around the world. That this harvest is something that God wants to bring. We can confidently pray for that through our ministries, that people would come to know Jesus, that we can claim our families, our communities, our cities, and the nations for God, that we will not rest until we see His glory, His salvation to the ends of the earth. Now that gives significance, doesn't it? It gives a sense of destiny. It gives a sense of purpose. It gives us meaning. Something to look forward to, rather than feeling just comfortable. I've done my lot, you know. There's not much more I can do, you know. I've been working hard for the last 30 years. I've seen no change in our community, so why bother? And that apathy can tend to creep in. I think Psalm 67 is an antidote for apathy, because it tells us God wants to bless us so that we can be a blessing. You can make a difference in the world today. And it's for all of us, not just for the ordained ministers or the clergy or the vestry. It's absolutely everybody. In fact, the psalmist says, may God bless us. There's the inclusion there. So we can be praying that God doesn't just bless me as my family. I want my home group to be blessed. I want St. Saviour, St. Nicholas to be blessed. When we are all blessed together, collectively, we can make a huge impact for God and His kingdom. And so, here's a question for you as I close. Is your vision too small? Are your prayers too small? The psalmist here prays that God would bless us so that they can be a blessing to the nations. Have we robbed God of His glory by the smallness of our vision? This is a bold prayer. It's close to the prayer that the psalmist makes in Psalm 2, Lord, where he says, ask of me, and I will give you the nations as your inheritance. Are our prayers too small? Is our vision too small? Let's pray that God will give us a vision for the nations, a vision for our communities, a vision for the change He wants to bring around us for Christ, a vision of His glory, that He will make us want more, long for more, more harvest, more people coming to faith. And we're willing to do whatever we can, giving our lives, asking God to take our lives and use us to bring hope in places of darkness. But for some of you, perhaps the need for you is, you know, the vision, the idea of great vision is too far for you, because right now where you are at, you don't feel like you're good enough. You don't feel like you've got much to offer. You don't feel like you can make a difference. And maybe the prayer for you will be, a greater awareness of the blessings that God has given you, so that you may be filled with a sense of gratitude. And out of this grateful heart for what God has given you, you'll be able to then reach out and have a vision for others around you. So it's two prayers. Prayer for a great vision, for what God wants to do through your life, because God wants to use you to be a blessing to the nations, but also prayer for an awareness of the way that God has blessed you, so that through that you can recognize who you are in Christ and use the gifts He's given you to bless others. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for the blessings that we have in Christ. We thank You so much that, Lord, You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. We're not always aware of these blessings, or we don't always recognize these blessings. Perhaps we take the blessings You give us for granted. So today, Lord, we pray that You may make us aware of the blessings You've given us. Lord, we pray that You may help us to be able to appreciate the gifts You've given us, and, Lord, look down on them. And we pray more than anything that, Lord, You may give us a vision for Yourself, a vision for what You want to do, a vision for Your word, and a vision for how we can make a difference in our communities, in this nation, and farther afield. Lord, we just pray that You may help us appreciate the resources and the gifts and the opportunities that we have to share the good news of Jesus Christ, so that others may be able to know You, that Your ways may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. So, Lord, I pray that You will use us in whatever way you want, Lord, for Your glory among the nations. For I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.